Acts chapter 3, and well, I couldn't decide between two titles for today's teaching, so I'll give you both of them, right? So the first title was Godliness is Great Gain, and the second title is Wise Parting Words. So we'll see that. Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to start, and a record you're very familiar with. It's one of those cases I was studying something, and when you're studying something, it leads you to something else, and that's kind of what happened this time. In Acts chapter 3, we have Peter and John, verse 1, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Great miracle. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Interesting question. I could answer that question. Because he got healed. Anyhow. Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? So he says here that it wasn't their own power or holiness. And the word holiness here is the word godliness. It wasn't their own power or godliness that had made this man to walk. Which is an interesting statement. Let's keep reading. Verse 13, he tells us in the context which power and godliness did make him walk. It wasn't their own. He wasn't saying power or godliness was a bad thing. He just said it wasn't their own. And we'll talk about that in a minute. The God of Abraham, verse 13, and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So as opposed to our own power or godliness, he says it was recognition that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, the power that is in that, and understanding his name and the power in his name, that's what made him whole. The power and godliness based on the work that Jesus Christ did, not our own power or our own godliness. In Acts chapter 4, when they asked him the question again, verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. If you read the rest of chapter 3, you'll see they were teaching about Jesus Christ. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. See, they're teaching about the resurrection. When God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he wrought power. He wrought that power in Jesus Christ. That's what healed that man. It wasn't Peter's own power or John's own power or their, you know, ability to walk in a pious way or anything like that. It was a godliness and a power, and you're going to see those words come up one time and again, that are based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's where the power is. That's what had gotten this man healed. Verse 3. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and scribes and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, all these top guys, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead," again the resurrection, "even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." They were throwing it away, and it became the head of the corner. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved." In 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, when I was looking at this I started to notice that there are different kinds of godliness and different kinds of power, which kind of is implied by Peter saying it wasn't our own power or godliness. That word godliness in the King James Version, I'm going to give you a definition of it. It says, according to Thayer's, it's the opposite, this is the word eusebia, it's the opposite of religion, which was an interesting definition. It relates to real, true, vital, and spiritual relationship with God. While the other word, which is religion, thraskia, relates to the outward acts of religious observances or ceremonies which can be performed by the flesh. Thayer says that our English word religion was never used in the sense of true godliness. It always meant the outward forms of worship. That's interesting to me, because both are present. Both kinds of godliness, if you will, or both kinds of power or lack thereof are present in the world, in the religious world. But they're not both the things that we're seeking for. And I did a bit of a summary here in my mind. I don't know some of this. The differences between religion and godliness. Religion says you must, and godliness says you should. Religion says I have to. Godliness says I get to. I equate religion, this is my definition, to personality, whereas godliness is character. Religion says we are broken. Godliness, we are complete. Religion says so-and-so says something important. Godliness says God says so. Religion looks for the praise of men, godliness for the praise of God. Religion, look at what I can do. Godliness, look at what he has done. And you could go through the Word of God and see examples of both very, very clearly throughout the ages. You remember the time when they wouldn't enter into where Jesus Christ was going to be, was crucified, so they wouldn't be, defiled. They could eat the Passover, and here they were killing the Passover lamb. That's religion. Matthew 15, the traditions of men are greater than God, religion. Their observance of the Sabbath day when Jesus Christ said, hang on, it was made for man, not man for the Sabbath, religion. They crucified the Messiah. That's religion. On the other hand, you see, men like David in the Old Testament, true godliness, a man who made mistakes, did things, but great power, yet he would sit down and say, who am I, God? Now, why would you bless me in such a manner? He said, when I wake up in the morning, I'm satisfied with your likeness. That's all I need. That's godliness. The men saying, doesn't matter if we get saved or not, we're not going to bow. That's that true relationship. And there is power in that godliness. That's what Peter was saying. It's not by our own power or godliness, but the godliness that is based on Jesus Christ, the resurrection, and the power that is in that. That is important. First Timothy talks about both kinds. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Who's behind those doctrines? There you go. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat. So here, they're doing things here, okay? They're doing things, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. This is scripture. This is good doctrine, good information. As opposed to the other stuff, which isn't whereunto thou hast attained, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. See, he's saying, instead of, you know, doing these things that people are into doing, you know, forbidding this, not doing that, and trying to follow these rules that religion likes to put on people, or the world likes to put on people, he says, exercise yourself, which means that you can actually develop your godliness. You can develop your relationship with God, true spiritual, vital relationship. Exercise, he says, work on your exercise thyself, verse 7, rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness, it's interesting, they're both equated. Exercise is things you do, you know, physically, and godliness, exercise yourself. You can do things to grow in your godliness. Is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I mean, there's not a lot of works you can do that are beneficial here and later. That is good work. Profit now and profit in the life that is to come. That is really, really good work that we can do. This is verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This is good stuff. It's good doctrine. It's good information. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of them, of all men, especially of those who believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example. Are you going to see this again when it comes to godliness? You do things, but you do them for the right reason. You don't do them just for the sake of doing them. There's power in one. There's no power in the other. Because he's talking about the other guys who were doing things, not eating meat and coming up with all these things. But now he tells Timothy, do things. But there's a motivation behind one, which is based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And a motivation behind the other, we're going to see, is not based on good things. And here he says, do things. Let no man despise thy youth. Be an example of the believers in word, what you say, in conversation, in charity, in lust, in spirits, not in the text, in faith, in purity. You do till I give attendance, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And he's not talking about reading the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, right? The scriptures, give attendance. That is what your life, the godliness that we're interested in, is based on. It's based on resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's based on the scriptures. That's why you do it. We do it because of what he did for us. Not because I want to show somebody, oh, look at this, look what I can do, look what I abstain from, look what I don't abstain from. There's no power in that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, Peter and John weren't saying that godliness or power are bad things. He was just saying it's the right kind, it's the right stuff that you want. And he taught the resurrection. That's what the right stuff, that's the origin of the right kind of godliness, our relationship with God, based on that. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1, let as many as servants are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Talking again about right doctrine, good information. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach any otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words. You see, you keep saying good doctrine, wholesome words, the truth. And consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. See, that godliness is based on good information, good doctrine, sound doctrine. That's what he told Timothy to read. That's what he told him to keep in his mind. He is proud. People don't do that. He is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. See, there are two kinds. They want to get into this. They want to do things and, you know, talk about things and argue about things. And they think that they can actually gain from godliness. They can, and we'll see in the context, they're also talking about money as well. But from such, he says, withdraw thyself. You can pursue different kinds of godliness. One has great power in it and is based on the right motivation. The other is not based on. It's based on the wrong doctrine. It's based on a desire for gain. Verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Look at the complete opposite of that. The right kind of godliness, we just read back there, it benefits today and in the life to come. That is great gain. Can't get much better than that. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. So that wrong kind of godliness, things you get, it's not going to benefit you. But, you know, if you're working on your godliness based on the resurrection and the power that God wrought in that, promise of this life and that which is to come, in some sense, it is something you can carry out with you. But the other stuff, no, it's not going anywhere. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Stay far away from that stuff. Flee these things and follow after. And here it is again. We just read it in Timothy 4. Here he tells him again, do things, but for the right reason. Not for the desire for getting gain and all that kind of stuff and notoriety in front of people or you know, look at me and all that kind of junk. For the right reasons. Follow after righteousness, godliness. See, that kind, the right one, the right stuff that's based on the work of Jesus Christ. Where am I here? Faith, love, patience, meekness. These are all things you do, right? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You already have eternal life. This is in the category of reward. Lay hold, you know, act like you've got it. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou hast are also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, it's interesting how those words, godliness and power, show up together. I find that interesting. And I was saying that, you know, the other teaching I had was, their title was Wise Parting Words. So here, Paul, when he's about to leave, tells Timothy these things. Chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinents, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, pretty bad list, eh? High-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. Isn't that interesting? after all those things we just listed here, all those evil things that people into, having a form of godliness? You see, what you do in your life, and, you know, I was thinking about it, what does this mean? Well, the things you do in your life, you know, I call them that you sit in your own office, you're quiet, or there's no one else around, no one else is watching you. The things you do there, that which we can call character, as opposed to personality, that sometimes the way people behave in front of others. These people here, they looked like they were godly, a form of godliness. Yet look what was behind the scenes, what was going on in their hearts, what was going on. And yet you could be in front of people and say, oh, there's a form of godliness there. Kind of scary, isn't it? He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There's that. It's interesting how godliness and power, they showed up together. And I wasn't even studying that, but I was, well, it's interesting. They keep showing up together. Denying the power. So you can look really good. You know, you can do all these things behind the things. Your heart isn't great. And plus, you have no desire or interest in the walking in the power of God. That is in the right doctrine. That is resident in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The godliness we're interested in, it is not this one. It's the one that recognizes the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the one that the reason we do the things we do, the reason we walk or desire to walk in a godly lifestyle, whether it's to be loving, to be faithful, to believe, or, you know, our example is good examples in charity and all those things. The reason we do those things is not because of this stuff, but it's because of the resurrection of Christ. It's the right motivation. We understand that there's power in that. We want to walk that way, not because people are watching us or we want anybody else's praise, or that we care less about what anybody else could think, but what does God think? You know, what did he do for us, and why do we walk that way? That's what he was telling him. Verse 6, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Don't go there. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They know a lot of things. They can say, you know people who know a lot of things? You can learn your whole life, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. True godliness. Remember, he keeps true doctrine, Timothy. Read the good, right stuff, the wholesome words. Think about those things. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these also. They resist the truth. They have no interest in the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate, concerning the faith. But they sure looked godly, had a form of godliness. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. There's that contrast. Aside from all that stuff, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity. Remember, I see again the emphasis on living those things, living that way for the right reason. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, Lystra, at persecution, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly, that same word, or form of that word, in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is what you are, you're going if you live that way for the right reasons. You will be persecuted. That's where you're heading. Good destination. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you, Timothy, continue the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Wise parting words. You want godliness, the right kind of godliness. You want the right kind of power. You want that power in your life. Take heed to the scriptures. Take heed to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is where it is. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. See, the right godliness, the actions that you do from both kinds of godliness are very, very similar in one sense. If I want to look good before you, I could say, oh, God bless you. I sure love you. Aren't you the best? Aren't you? You know, I can, and maybe the same kind of things you'd be saying if you were walking the right way, wouldn't it? God bless you, sure love you and all that. So the idea of directing people's flesh, and sometimes call it asceticism or living a moral lifestyle, I could say, I'm never going to have a beer in my life because I want to deprive myself of beer because it'll make me godly. Or I could say, I don't really want to have a beer or whatever else. I'm just using one example because I don't feel like it. And I just don't want to, I never want to, get drunk or whatever, because the Bible tells me I ought to do that. Now, I want to honor the God who had his son die for me and made this veil. There's different reasons why we do things, but sometimes they look very similar. You know, I fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Aren't I great? You know, well, you're probably hungry, but not so great. Or you could say, I want to fast for a week because I want God and see God's will in my life. And never remember Jesus Christ. When you guys fast, don't be like the others. You know, disfigure your faces and say, oh, look at me, look at me. You know, there's two kinds of godliness. One has power, one has no power at all. You know, and here he is. And the one, that power comes from the scriptures, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the one we're interested in. That godliness is great gain, promised in this life and that which is to come. We started with Peter. We'll close in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll close there. We didn't read 2 Timothy 4, but you could read that where Paul encourages them, preach the word in season, out of season, all the time, basically. Keep your mind there. 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, these are Peter's parting words. We just saw Paul's parting words, but here's Peter's parting words. Verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Different people, different things, not the same. I like to point that out every time we see them. There's a lot of them. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, to the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, where are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, and here it is again, you hear all this wonderful promises given to us that pertain unto life and godliness. We have everything we need to develop that relationship, that strong relationship with God that has great power in it. Here we're going to read again about things you do. Verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, self-control. These are all things. You do all these things for the right reasons, not for the reasons to be seen by others and all the other nonsense people get into, but for the right reasons. Temperance, and to patience, what godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the right reason, the right doctrine. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all know we are in the kingdom of God and the Lord by being born again. So this is talking again in the category of reward. See the great blessings by doing these things that are ahead. Profit now and profit in the life ahead. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you in always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yet think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir up you by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me. See, again, Peter's parting words. Moreover, I will endeavor. It's interesting, the same thing Paul told Timothy when he was leaving, you know. Live this way, the right reason. Live a godly lifestyle. Yeah, you're going to get persecuted, but you know the scriptures. You stick to those. Here's Peter. I'm leaving. You guys walk this way. Understand the knowledge and power in Jesus Christ. Moreover, verse 15, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Power is power, and we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which we came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. See, God wants us to know his word, and he wants us to know it from the point of view, the understanding that he wants us to have. Not because I want to show myself, you know, in front of others to put on some form of godliness or live some other way. No, because of what he wants. It's what he wants us to understand. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. See, so the godliness and power, when Peter and John did that day, it's not by our own power or godliness, not because we're so great or we're so that, but because Jesus Christ is, because God had him die for us, and God wrought the power in him when he raised him from the dead. That's what healed that lame man that day. It's the godliness that Timothy was encouraged by Paul to develop. Exercise yourself unto that kind of God, based on wholesome words, wholesome doctrine, the right truths concerning Jesus Christ and his resurrection, and the same encouragement that Peter gave here when he was about to pass away. Right? Take heed to that, and you know, and stay away from the other stuff. If you want to be a man or woman of God, you stay away from the other stuff, and take heed, and understand it's the very simple scriptures, the basic truths that we know and love so much and so well, that will lead us to that godliness and the power that is resident in it. So godliness is great gain. And what a blessing to you know, have it available to us for the right reasons, and doing things for the right reasons that are based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So